Our continued drive to suppress wildfire doesn't just come at the cost of an unhealthy forest. It puts firefighters in harm's way. And the Forest Service has begun to question whether that's happening more than necessary. EarthFix reporter Tony Schick brings us the story of one life cut short fighting fire.
It was 2013. Jay Crawford and John Hammack were sent to cut a massive Douglas fir tree burning in the woods of central Oregon. It was remote, at the edge of a wilderness area. The fire hadn't spread, but in the middle of summer, the Forest Service feared it would. So it called on the professional loggers, but they never got a chance to cut it. Crawford remembers walking toward the tree and feeling a slight breeze.
When I looked up, the treetop was halfway down. It was perfectly horizontal sideways, and halfway down, it looked like a school bus coming at us. And I knew I was dead.
A split second later, he was face first against the dirt. He couldn't see Hammack, so he hollered for him. No answer.
Started digging in limbs and stuff, hoping he just got hit by a limb and was underneath a pile of limbs. And
as he kept looking, he soon realized the worst had happened.
I was pretty sure he wasn't alive, that he was probably underneath the tree.
Did you find him?
No, I never even saw a piece of him.
In the year after, Crawford could barely sleep. He changed jobs. He moved to Idaho. He sought religion. He still wonders why he's alive.
You know, when I get really down, really depressed, and I wish it had been me rather than John. But, I know it was for a reason, and I think I need to make the most of, my life, and especially with my family.
Crawford has been connected to Hammack's family ever since. He took them to the site of his death and recounted Hammack's final day. 5 years later, they are still working through the pain.
I haven't watched this in forever. It's
Kelly Jo Hammack is sitting at the kitchen table in her dad's old house with her husband and her stepmom. She opens on her iPhone a slideshow they made for her dad's memorial. She watches photos of him as a young and wild rodeo cowboy. Then she skips ahead to photos of him as grandpa.
That's my daughter. Dad shaved his mustache because he thought she looked like him, and if he shaved his mustache, we would all see the resemblance.
John Hammack never wanted to be told when something wasn't safe. But Kelly Jo can't shake her frustration that no one was accountable for her father's death.
It shouldn't be, not when you're dealing with people's lives. You should have a system in place of checks and other checks and accountability and reasoning. Just if that would have happened, Dad would not have been in that situation.
Hammack's family struggles with why the Forest Service asked him to be under the tree that day. Here's his wife, Maura Hammack.
They make a decision and risk somebody's life based on something that they've been watching for days, and they determine that it's safe. I mean, nobody would be standing under that tree with a chainsaw unless they said, we want you to do that.
At the time, the Forest Service defended its decision to take the tree because it might have grown into a full-fledged wildfire. But more and more, people within the agency are asking these same kinds of questions. Why did we put these firefighters in harm's way? To what end?
You can get me all riled up here.
That's Vicki Christensen, the interim chief of the Forest Service.
To have to go to one more funeral of one of our own that was taking action when what they were doing had very low probability of making any difference.
Scientists at her agency have started to argue that firefighters are unnecessarily exposed to risk. They're put in harm's way on big fires with little hope of success. Or they're put on small remote fires to protect little of value, all while perpetuating the buildup of hazardous fuels.
That's what we call unnecessary exposure. And I'll say that's unnecessary loss of life.
Christensen says the agency has many resources devoted to improving its fire risks. But changing the risk of wildfire, she says, is like turning the Titanic. I'm Tony Schick in Culver, Oregon.